spooky season's coming up, and one of the neighbors already put up all his Halloween inflatables. And I was like, sweet. I've been walking the dog, and at night, it's fun to walk by his house because he has all the Halloween lights. And I was like, why does this feel novel?
Mm.
Well, it's because I didn't walk Roxy that far when we first moved into the house because Roxy was an old dog and couldn't make it very far.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, that explains it. I haven't walked a dog by his house. He's like 3 blocks away, maybe max.
Right.
But I was like, perfect. This will be my fun nighttime dog walk activities. Going to see his 3 Ghostbusters inflatables.
I wish we had more room. Like, we don't have any. Just making sure we're recording. We don't have any yard space because we live in a townhouse.
Can't put anything in the yard?
Not really. Like, it's so tiny. What would we put? But I would love to be able to.
You could hang body parts out of your tree. If I ever get around to it, I have some. It's like the piping that you would use. Like, this is in your couch right here. This is piping.
Yeah.
It's the little decorative edges on couches where there's like a rope inside there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a cotton rope. But
right.
I had extra my boss gave me, and I was going to use like red paint and make them look all intestine-y and then like drape them in a tree.
Right.
Like there's, you know, entrails in this tree. But I've always been way too busy to actually just like go out and buy like some, you know, various colored acrylic paints.
Yeah. I've been wanting to do.
Ooh, if anyone wants to do an art project with me and dye some intestines. I have enough friends who might want to do that. Let me know.
I want to do the chicken wire ghosts. Have you seen that? Where people will make.
I have chicken wire.
They make like ghost sculptures out of chicken wire, which is just, it's just like people. So it's not even sheet ghosts. It's like they'll like do a dress form with like a skirt.
Yeah.
And then they wrap it in chicken wire, and then you have like that shape, and then they hang it like from a tree, or some people.
So does something go on top of the chicken wire?
I think I've seen people leave it alone and then they just light it. So it looks cool. But I've also seen people do like chiffon or something, real thin fabric to kind of let it flow in the wind. Because the idea is you hang it from a tree so that the wind just lets them. So
they'll take the chicken wire and they'll like press it to the dress form.
To shape it.
The shape.
Yep. And then cut it and pull it off and then put it
back together.
Yep.
You could have told me this when I had access to dress forms. We could have done this. I have chicken wire. Chiffon's easy.
Yeah, the shit's
easy. Would be awful to have to store though, because the chicken wire bends so easy.
And that's in general why I'm like, don't go too crazy with decorations, because I would go crazy and then have nowhere to put it.
Yeah.
I need a house with a big garage or storage basement or something.
You run out of space so fast. I wonder if it'd be fun to like hang them in the back of my basement. Hey, Christine, will you? Or no, you'll be like, Kaylin, I need a pot. I'd be like, sure, go down in the basement and find it. And then you walk in the basement and just like shit yourself because you're like, oh my God, there's people down here. Woo!
Well, hey, everybody.
Oh, hey. That's right. We're recording a podcast. Our ADHD is so bad today. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Rough Around the Hedges. I'm Kaylin.
And I'm Christine.
Oh my goodness. Welcome to our podcast. Hello. Thank you for being here with us. We haven't even talked about plants
yet. I was going to say, if you haven't noticed, our second favorite thing in life is happening right now. It's spooky season.
Spooky season.
Kayla and I are huge, huge, huge Halloween people.
I left my bats and skulls up all year.
Nice.
Yeah.
I keep all my pumpkins up all year round because I just like pumpkins.
So I can see two skeletons from here.
Oh, yeah.
And then this is the Beetlejuice snow.
Well, that's not even Halloween decorations. That's just Beetlejuice.
You could be like, "Didn't you Disney?" Well, it's not. Why am I
thinking? Because it's Tim Burton, and Tim Burton has done a lot of Disney stuff.
You're just really into Disney.
Not as much, but yeah. Anywho,
you're not a Disney adult anymore.
Define Disney adult.
Oh, you know the ones who go to the park every year.
Exactly.
Do you?
No.
Oh, you used to though.
When I was under my parents' house, and they would just take me. Yeah, I would go to Disney for free. But
I mean, duh.
No, I don't. I don't cry when the castle gets lit up. I don't. You know,
you didn't cry when they repainted Cinderella's castle.
No, I like the new Cinderella's castle. Oh, Adrian's reminding me that's spooky season. So we got to start. I program the lights every year to change into spooky time lights.
Nice. I was thinking it was like 8 o'clock or something and it turned on to nighttime mode.
No, I'll turn it in. Yeah. So he just made his office green.
Green.
Last year was.
Oh, did you go see the Beetlejuice movie?
Mm-hmm.
Was it good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good.
Not worth the 40-year wait.
Rough Around the Hedges is becoming a movie review podcast for like 5 minutes.
We're talking about plants eventually.
There were plants in the movie. It was what I have come to the sense of is it was fine for a movie. It was fine for a sequel. What it doesn't do is for the people like me, probably you, people like Adrian, who have watched that movie like nonstop since it came out. It was not a good sequel for those. group of people.
It didn't come out in 87. I didn't watch 94. It for the first 4 years.
94.
Oh, I guess that was a lie.
Yeah. So it was not good for, it's not, it did not hit all of the check boxes.
Not like Shrek 2.
For our group of people. Well, and the number one thing I'll talk about, or the number one thing I'll say is, Shrek 2 came out 2 years after Shrek 1.
Was it only 2 years?
I don't know. Was it something
Shrek
like that?
Shrek came out in 97.
Yeah, and then like 2001. So five years. Yeah. Yeah, we're a full right. 20 years, right?
And they know or, sorry, how 30 big years. It is in the, you know, the cult classic.
Arena. Yeah. I also don't like, and I don't want to spoil it too much.
Yeah, don't spoil it.
The, sorry, 1988 was the first one came out. I thought it was 94. Maybe I'm getting that confused with another Tim Burton movie.
Was I right?
Yeah, 88. And I've said this since day one, since they announced the title of the movie, because we have Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. They are setting it up for a third one, Beetlejuice. And I'm not.
Don't think they should do that. Mm-mm. I mean, Shrek 3 wasn't good either.
But Shrek 4.
You didn't like Beetlejuice?
Yeah. No, they wouldn't do that. It makes sense at 3 because you say his name 3 times. So that's where I'm like, oh, well, they're going to do a trilogy.
Was the writing okay?
The writing was okay. There was too many plots happening. There's like 4 plots happening in the movie. No, 2:15. Oh. They definitely could have done away with like 2 of the plots in the movie easily. Yeah. But other than that, yeah, I liked it better than Hocus Pocus 2.
Hmm. See, I don't have the childhood nostalgia for Hocus Pocus. I watched it for the first time as an adult. So like Hocus Pocus 2 wasn't that bad, but I was also like,
Well, and I think one thing
you could have done better.
Hocus Pocus 2 was bad at, and also Beetlejuice 2 is very much just the same movie.
Oh,
like it's kind of like a rinse and repeat.
And that's what I love about Shrek 2 is that it's like the same characters, but a whole separate different thing. And they did such a good job.
My favorite part about Shrek 2 is the karaoke option at the end of the DVD.
Welcome to Far, Far Away, Idol.
Yeah.
When we fall asleep watching that movie, we wake up to the choose your winner now menu screen. And then depending on what mood I'm in, I'll either pick one of the people who don't ultimately end up winning, or I'll pick like Fiona, Shrek, or Donkey. Depending on if I want to hear Simon Cowell sing.
Oh, yeah. I forget about that. Forgot that was a thing.
Okay. We're going to talk about plants, but Kaylin has one more adjacent side thing that is going to be funny for all of you. Okay, so I was a kid, obviously obsessed with Shrek. I had that whole movie memorized. I and this boy I had a crush on in high school, we wrote the script for a 4-H Share the Fun act when I was in 7th grade.
Hang on, what's Share the Fun? Not everyone knows that.
Share the Fun is kind of like a talent show, but they don't call it a talent show because in 4-H, everyone's a winner.
It's a variety show. That registered way too late.
You could do like a solo, you could do some kind of duet, you could do any kind of like art form, you know, if you wanted to sing or play an instrument or like do a, like a little skit. And like, I had been a part of this a couple of years before where we would do skits that usually the adults wrote. And I was like, I really want to do like a group skit with my club for this event. But, you know, I had to take initiative. So I was like, I'm going to write and direct it in 7th grade
again.
Only, I don't remember if there was more than one person who wanted to help write it, but I know it was mostly me and Joe, and we wrote the script, and it was mostly me writing the script because that's my personality type. But we did a knockoff of American Idol. Mm-hmm. We did 4-H Idol, and we had 3 contestants, and we had all the judges. And then we picked the songs we wanted to do, and then we rewrote the words to be all 4-H-y.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the first person sang, I'm a Barbie girl, but it was, I'm a 4-H girl. And then we sang about like showing sheep at the fair or whatever. And then the second contestant sang, I'm bringing sexy back by Justin Timberlake, except it was, I'm bringing 4-H back. Yeah. Those other H-ers don't know how to act. Oh my God. Why do I still remember this? And then the third person, was it Who Let the Dogs Out? Shit, I can't remember. And then at the end, it was, I totally ripped this off from Shrek 2 because I was Simon the judge in the show. And we did the bit like, none of you win, I win. And then I sang the song he sings and I stood on a table to do it. And then the other two judges, Paula and Randy Jackson, dragged me off stage. And then somebody comes out and is like, everyone's a winner because in 4-H, everyone's a winner. Oh, oh my God. Yep. I did that. So
did you do well?
We won. And then we got to go to the state fair. And then I think we won there too.
Oof.
Yeah.
All I remember is I never did share the fun. I always watched my siblings do it, but I remember thinking the people that were at state level doing share the fun was just cringe. Just cringy at that point.
I mean, do you think what I just described to you was cringe?
Yeah.
We had fun.
I mean, for like 10-year-olds, no, but
7th graders?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, 13-year-olds, but still cringy.
We were the only, there were only like, you know, 3 7th graders. Everyone else was younger. There were no older kids, and there were no adults present, and no adults had any say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then that itself is cool.
And everyone's like, "Oh wow, look at this 7th grader who wrote this whole skit on her own." I'm like, "I just ripped it up from Shrek." Okay, let's talk about plans.
Hey, everybody.
Well, shit. This is what happens when Mackie's not here to keep us on track, because that was 12 minutes. We're halfway and shit. Ooh. Okay, so.
Welcome to our friend.
It's been a day. Okay, we are talking about moss poles.
Plant support.
Versus stakes. Versus trellises.
Yeah.
Versus sticks you found in the park. Versus nothing.
Ugh, please don't do nothing.
I don't know. What else can you use?
Anyway,
that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, plant supports.
So you use the moss poles. I refuse.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's right there. Moss poles.
What are they?
Moss poles.
It's a bowl with moss.
It's a support stick with moss wrapped around it. Or I'm actually technically using cocoa poles. It's cocoa husk. It's basically a
you're mimicking a tree.
Yeah, it's a substrate-ish of a type of support that holds moisture and allows an attaching point for your aerial roots on your plants. So these are really great for your monsteras, your philodendrons,
Syngoniums,
anything that's going to put out node with aerial root growth gives them something to hold on to.
And these are the plants that can be found in nature growing up stuff.
Yep.
So
epiphytic-esque
plants. Trees, other plants.
Yeah.
I would say buildings like an ivy, but we're not exactly.
They're really, the benefits of them for sure are your plants really size up when they're got the support like that.
Yeah.
Because once they get that attachment point, then they can grow larger leaves because they're not, you know, the plant's not going to fall over and break and stuff. So having that support structure all the way up of it. Also, I think once they're attached, their roots are able to grow a little more. So they are getting a little bit of, they got to be getting some sort of nutrient from that point.
They need nutrients in their aerial roots?
Well, it's going to become root, right? I mean,
so I guess. I've never heard about anyone fertilizing their moss poles, but I guess you could.
But when you just straight up, to go off of this, moss poles need to be watered. Asterisk. I never water. I never wet down my moss poles.
Do your roots still grow into them?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah. I mean, but that might be specific to the plants because like my monsteras are attached. My El Salvador was attached this last time I was looking at it.
My philodendron giganteum, when I grew it outside on the tree, I wasn't wetting the tree down.
Right.
But guess what?
It was attached. Yeah. And by attachment, like the aerial root, like, I don't know, it must put something out on the backside of the aerial root. To like dig into it, because you'll see either or. You'll see the root on the moss pole, like on the surface level, just like attached,
and then something else below it. Well, okay, and that you can't necessarily see it, but the roots have tiny little root hairs.
That's what I was. Yeah,
guess trying what? To get they're at. Attaching to my wall in my room.
Yeah, so they'll do that. They have like little fingies that they'll put out from the aerial root to grab on. The other way they'll attach is by like my Florida ghost. It threw out a aerial root that just wrapped around the moss pole.
It just circled the thing from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yep. And then if you have hollow moss poles, like aerial roots can and will just like get into the pole and like go in that way.
Yeah, they find whatever the heck they want.
So they're really great. The downside to all of this is if you ever have to take that off.
Yeah, like depending on what kind of a moss pole like that you've made, you could just cut it up.
Mm-hmm.
To get the roots out, or you'd be like, well, shit. And then you just cut the root off because you're not going in there.
Right. Sometimes if it's just on the surface level and it's just doing the little fingy thing, I can kind of like coax it off and I break a little bit of it, but it's not the end of the world. But stacking moss poles have become my new like go-to, and I just kind of like gauge it if I'm going to make a chop or air layer it. I try to gauge it like where two moss poles meet up, so I know I can just like pull the whole thing off and have it already attached. That's been really helpful.
I'm thinking about my stakes and I'm like, I'm so glad I don't have to do any of this logistics shit.
Yeah. So there's definitely, what's the word? Pre-planning. Sure. A little more strategy that needs to go into it. Thought. Or you just have to be prepared to be chopping aerial roots when you do get to the point of wanting to take it off of the moss pole. I don't moisten mine
ever.
I never wet them down.
Hose them down in the tub.
I mean, yeah, if it's just watering day, they get wet, but I don't like soak them. I don't keep water on them. I don't spray them down.
And they're attaching just fine.
Yep. My school of thought is I like moss poles because even if the aerial roots don't attach, they're still a wider support than just a regular stake.
Yeah.
So it gives you more surface area to like fluctuate around a little bit, which I think I've found gives larger stems overall.
Mm-hmm. It kind of blows my mind that you're not wetting your moss poles and still seeing the same results, because you know how many people online have been preaching, keep your moss poles wet, keep your moss poles wet. And like, I did try.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, there's no way in hell.
They dry out daily. I used to try. I had a stint where I would make my own moss poles, and I tried making self-watering ones where like for LECA plants. So I got PVC. I wrapped the PVC with cotton, rope, whatever. What's the word I'm thinking of? Cording. Wrapped it with cording, put the cord back through the PVC so it came out the bottom, and then wrapped moss around, did the bird netting around it, and then did it that route. Guess what? Didn't keep it wet at all. So I just kind of gave up after all that.
Yeah. I mean, props to you guys if you're keeping them wet, but like I try to be more of a more efficient plant parent than that. So yeah, fuck that. Nope. I am not about that. But I don't do moss poles or cocoa poles or any of that. I just have plain old stakes.
Yeah.
I'll use bamboo stakes. I'll use chopsticks. I'll use the green garden stakes that you can buy in various foot length denominations up to 6 feet.
I also use all of that.
Yeah. So I will definitely stick them in the pot when I need, you know, my plant's getting, you know, tall enough that it can use it. I'll stick it on there. I have the little twisty ties that I will secure my plant with. Sometimes if the plant vine is small enough, I have little hair clips. I love to use, but I'm not, I'm not keeping those wet. I have vines that are just going up it. And usually, you know, every leaf that comes out that's new, I'll tie it off, or I'll move like my little twisty tie up a little higher. My elbow, which I grew up to, you know, 6-7 feet. By the time it was at 5 feet, I was getting a much noticeably thicker stem, and you could actually, you know, follow the vine down to the pot, and like,
right.
It was a really skinny vine down at the bottom, and then like up at the top, it's like the diameter of a quarter, like the size of a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I have since chopped the top off. We're going to keep growing it up now and keep doing it, seeing what happens. But like the aerial roots that come off, if my arm right here is my elbow vine, where like if my pole is right next to it,
mm-hmm.
all the aerial roots on the Monstera vine know that they're going to grow to that pole. And then they don't come out all the way, or like in all directions around the vine. They all come out on the side that they know the pole is on.
Mm.
So the plants figured it out somehow. But like, I was looking at the newest leaf that's coming out, and like, we don't have a lot of aerial roots forming yet, but like, there's a ton of nubbins right here.
Sure.
And they're all just like tiny little bumps, but they're all on one side of the vine.
I will say that is one thing for sure. No matter what support for Monstera specifically. Yeah, I can say that. The node, like you get just so many more nodes, period, when you have support on those things. Like they, like you said, they'll throw out just like nub. Like it's crazy.
It's on my Tycon too. It's mm-hmm. on my elbow.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, it's funny because my Tycon, the area roots on that one come out so girthy.
Yeah.
But they all kind of come out. And since they're so girthy, I can't like immediately direct them down. So they come out sideways, and then they'll like curve down towards the soil, so it's like a rainbow.
Nice.
But then they're all like they're like right in line with each other, so it's like a whole like little line of dudes going down to my soil, and it's weirdly soothing to my OCD. Unlike my Warsawixii aurea and my Giganteum, those two, they put out aerial roots wherever the hell they want. All like,
oh sure,
it'll be like every single point around the vine.
Yeah.
in a circle. They'll have different like little tendrils
mm-hmm.
coming out. Do you remember the aerial roots on my Giganteum?
Yeah.
They were out of control. They would like grow from, you know, whatever node they were at. And then they would get so long and, like, you know, 4 feet up, we had aerial roots going from where they started on the vine down into the soil 4 feet below. Crazy. I could braid them.
I only really use stakes for my ficus now. Stuff that doesn't.
Oh,
where it that just needs a support. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not, yeah,
those two.
Because if I'm not careful with some of my ficuses, they'll grow straight, but then sometimes they'll just kind of like start to, you know, but I want them to grow straight. So that's why
they just get a little top heavy.
Yeah.
Okay. Trellises and specifically Hoyas.
Do it all day, ever long. Do it.
The circle ones.
Yep.
Because then you can just keep wrapping in a circle. And I have since taken your recommendation and purchased a multi-pack of the circle trellises. And I do see the appeal.
I also like them because they're metal and I can put them in any substrate. Then they can go in LECA. They can go.
I did get the super trellis because I was like,
oh, is that the
one? The hexagon one you can like build up. Super cool. The novelty is definitely there. Do get eventually too tall where they're too floppy.
Yeah.
So you want to stick them in like, you know, a couple stakes to help it out. But that I had my Lisa on that. And it was really cool because I could start off with like a, I don't know, 1 foot tall trellis that I put together. Mm-hmm. And then as the plant grows, I can add more of the little hexagons to it to make it taller.
Sure.
My downfall, though, was I made it like 3 feet tall. And then the plant was like, wee, I'm so happy. And I'm going to get aphids. I was like, I hate this.
Have you ever done, I have two questions. Have you ever made your own trellis?
No.
I've done it in a pinch where I've just taken bamboo stakes and like.
Oh, I've made thought that. About that. Because they have the ones that you can buy where it's like 3 bamboo stakes vertically. And then a couple, they're like skewer diameter going horizontally, and I was like, I could probably make this with some of my like my hemp cord and some stakes. I've never gotten around to it. It's like
in a pinch it works.
Disagree with the shape of those because they're two-dimensional and you go in and there's not enough like to balance it back and forth once you get like a lot of vines on there.
Sure.
So I think if I was gonna make something like that, I would go for like a triangle.
Yeah.
Have two stakes and then one behind them so that it can brace it a little better.
Yeah.
And then have it still climb up kind of like a trellis. Is trellis the word I'm looking for? Topiary.
Yeah.
Something a little more structurally sound. Because I grew a syngonium up that trellis I was describing where it's like the 3 bamboo stakes with the crossbars. Worked great until it didn't. And then it just was like floppy and wanted to fall over.
Yeah. I did my variegated heart leaf on something like that.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried the LECA moss pole?
Oh, heck no.
They don't work.
Thank you. I feel like you told me you were going to do it. And I was like, let me know if that works. Maybe I'll try it. And then it
guess what didn't work?
And like, I know some people have tried like a plastic frame for moss poles and then put LECA in it, thinking the LECA will wick it up. But like,
sure doesn't.
I think there's still too much surface area and evaporation happening for that. Like, whole moss pole to stay wet with LECA. I just don't see it happening.
What I tried, I was definitely influenced off the internet on this, is I went and got hair rollers.
I thought you were gonna say heroin. I was like, what?
Yeah, off the internet.
Hair rollers.
Hair rollers and zip tied them together and then put LECA in it. So it was like a clear plastic.
Oh, funny. Yeah. And that didn't work either?
Didn't work.
I love the idea of that. Yeah. Because that would be really good to grip onto.
Mm-hmm. The best, I guess, combo is I totally stole this from Eve. The D-shaped like moss pole, so it's flat on one side and round on the other. Mm-hmm. And you put that in your LECA pot and you put LECA in the moss pole all the way up until the surface level. And then you do moss the rest of the way. That it doesn't keep moss wet that way. But what I would do instead is I would just water the plant through the moss pole down into the and then go into the reservoir.
How many days do you get before the moss is dry?
A few. I mean, not like it wasn't dry immediately, but it didn't like last forever. But I did my owl syngonium on that, and it definitely worked.
I really like that you have success without having to keep things wet at all. It just makes things so much easier.
Yeah.
So much easier.
It does help that I have, like, a house humidifier.
Yeah, your furnace keeps things humid by using its secondary function.
Yep.
I don't have that.
And I don't know. Maybe that doesn't work. Maybe I'm just, like, thinking it works.
But do you have a hygrometer?
Mm-hmm.
And can you see what the humidity in the house is?
Yeah, so, like, but if, like, during the winter, if the house is at like 50%, is that enough? I mean, it obviously isn't. It
15% is beneficial for plants. Right. Because it's not 30 and it's not 18.
13, yeah.
Yeah. I think it was 13% humidity in the studio that I worked in right next to the furnace, which was like the big radiator, which I thought it was amazing that we could even have 13% humidity in that type of condition.
Yeah. The humidifier was broken 2 winters ago, and the lowest the house got was like 23%, which still isn't bad.
I mean, that's not humid at that point.
No.
Whatever. Whatsoever.
But it's still not horrible.
What else? We talked about trellises. What was the other one?
Plant stakes, moss poles.
Isn't there a fourth one? Walls. Ooh.
Walls, I other like using, plants.
Okay. If you haven't done this yet, this is your word of caution. If you are going to grow plants up a wall,
prepare to never let that plant move ever.
Well, yeah, but the other problem is when that plant comes off, you will have to repaint.
Oh.
If you're renting, do what you want. If you own the house,
do what you want.
That's your responsibility. you're going to have to live with that. So I currently have 2 pothos growing up, 2 different walls in my house. They're fine. I don't.
How do you ever repot it? Yet,
but I haven't had to. Okay, you have to come over and help me. one's in LECA, so I just keep filling it up, but like it definitely needs a repot, but I don't want to. And also I probably need to water it immediately when I get home because I don't remember the last time I poured water in there. As long as I remember to pour water in it, we're good. I just haven't. But yeah, it's attached to the wall, so I can't really move it very much.
Right.
In order to do the repotting. The other one's in soil in the bathroom. It's in a 6-inch pot. It's definitely reached the end of its soil life.
Sure.
So I need to take my giant 25-inch saucer in there, take all the root stuff off. But like I need someone, I need an extra set of hands.
Sure.
And then when it comes to repotting, again, I need an extra set of hands. So I have a plan. I just need a person.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting to do it. And then I'm like, oh, I should do it now with this person. And then I'm like, plant's too dry. I should probably water it before I do this. And then that person leaves because I'm not holding them hostage.
You're not?
No, I just have wishful thoughts. I've asked Mackie to help me with this, like, re-recording sessions ago.
I was gonna say, I can help. Weeks. Just gotta get me over there.
Well, you come over to my house. I just gotta, just anyway.
So yeah, walls.
Plants are attached to the wall. I have used the command strips with the, it's specifically the Christmas light clear hooks.
Yeah.
So they have a hook that has enough space for Christmas light, but you know what else is the diameter of a Christmas light? A vine. So that's what I'm using. I know some of you guys have seen the green leaf shaped.
Oh, yeah.
Things that you can stick on your wall.
Those are expensive.
I'm not sure. Command hooks are expensive.
Yeah, that's true.
$20 for like a 50 pack.
Yeah.
And do you know how many of those I've bought? Probably $100. those ones I'm not sure about because you don't know that adhesive. Like what happens if each of those green leaves pull off a whole chunk of paint? Like I'd rather go with the command strip route.
Yeah.
Because even those, they still peel paint off my fucking walls
and
my ceiling. Where I'm going with this is the roots have tiny little hairs on them. You can't really see, but those hairs will be what sticks to your paint. And, you know, a lot of walls, even if they're smooth, they have a little bit of texture to them. So those hairs are just going to get in everywhere. The vine will attach itself to your wall. Eventually, you won't even need your hooks. The shitty thing is when that root disconnects from the wall, some of those hairs stick behind.
Yeah.
And some of them are, you know, blonde, some of them are dark, but you will see the little marks if you have light colored walls. I have white walls.
Yeah.
So anytime a vine breaks off, I just have a bunch of fucking root hairs stick to my thing.
Yeah.
Right now, since the plant is up there and there's enough foliage, I don't care about it.
Yeah.
But eventually the plant's going to die or it's going to get bugs real bad or I'm just going to get sick of it or it's going to get stringy or any number of things. It's not permanent. It's going to have to come down and it is a wide chunk of wall where this guy is. And like the one that's in the bathroom only has a skylight. So there's no window, but there's a skylight. And I did measure the light on the counter for the pothos when the sun comes through and it gets like 150 foot candles at the counter height. So I was like, I can definitely grow a pothos in here. It's cool because it's a marble queen, so you can see the variegation change based on where it's getting light and stuff. Sure. And it's cool because even the plants at the very top, like at the corner where the ceiling and the wall meet, they're not getting light there, but it's still like big leaves because the support is there. It's kind of crazy. But then I trained them along the ceiling and now they're into the skylight. And I'm going to have to be very careful because they can grow into the skylight, but I'm not going to let them get near the skylight window because I don't want them getting in any of the cracks.
Sure.
And fucking with that. So, honestly, the skylight, I know we tried to patch it after we scraped the popcorn and it's totally imperfect. So I will be happy to like mud that and fix it and sand it and make it smooth when I take the plant off. And also like all the command strips that I have up there from my, I have a plant and a Wally grow also in the skylight. Mm-hmm. Oh, they just ripped off the paint, those stupid command arcs. It's all because I didn't use primer.
Use primer, friends.
Use the primer after you pop off your popcorn ceilings. But yeah, no.
Plants growing up walls.
Redo that stuff.
Plants growing up walls look really cool. Like they definitely like look cool.
Yeah, do you like my bathroom one?
Yeah, and we've all seen like pictures either like Kaylin's or like you'll somewhere probably on Instagram or something.
The internet.
Yeah, the downside, like we said, repotting for sure, but also like light control. It's so hard to control light.
Depends on where you put it. So like my bedroom one.
Yeah.
It's in a corner, but oh. There's a south-facing window right there, and this plant is on the adjacent side of that corner, and this plant gets south light. Southwest, when the sun sets, is the direction he's in. So, like, it's good light. But I also don't have the plant
for how far,
growing. That's the thing. I don't have him growing away from the light. I have made his vines go up and down and up and down and up and down in the 3-foot section where he's at.
Gotcha.
So I'm not having the plant like vine all the way around my room. I'm not having him vine on the ceiling. I'm keeping him where I know the light is. And
right.
If you look at him, you're like, okay, yeah, he's pretty good. interesting though, he is a marble queen and his variegation.
So it's 2 marble queens?
Yeah, I guess I have 2 marble queens.
I thought it was golden in your bedroom.
My golden, I got rid of when it got spider mites that one winter.
Gotcha.
I don't even have golden right now, but I also have a jade and a jacinia in that window, but those are in hanging pots. Yeah, it's funny. The one in the bedroom, which gets better light, actually has less variegation in the foliage. And I don't know if that's just like the plant or if it's...
Could be just genetics.
But I would... it's so weird because like there's no way the one in the bathroom is getting more light than the one next to the window.
I guess not. Maybe.
I could try measuring it again. I haven't measured since I did it because I was...
It could be getting... lower levels, but a longer duration and a more consistent duration versus blasting just when it's on that side of the house.
Queen gets some direct sun from the skylight and the south window doesn't.
Sure. Yeah, that's true. That too.
I don't know. They're pothos and they're happy and they grow. So yeah. Like, I'm not really paying close attention to them. I got other shit to worry about.
I remembered the last support we talked about, just going out to the park and grabbing a stick.
Sticks. Lovely. Free. They look cool. Just make sure they don't have any bugs on them before you bring them in.
Yep. I've done this and we can chat like what to do to get bugs off of it.
You bake them.
You can bake them. Word of caution. You can start a fire if you bake them.
Isn't it like you got to do it at a low temp? And
yeah, it's like 200 and something degrees for half hour or whatever. What I did instead, because I went out and got a big one that wasn't going to fit in my oven. I boiled it.
How big was it?
It was probably.
So you had to boil it twice.
Yep.
Wait,
so I would.
Okay, you just showed me 4 feet. How you can't boil that twice?
No.
You'd have to. How'd you get the middle?
I put it in the tub and I was basically bringing
boiling water on it.
Yeah, just constantly. And I let it soak that way. And in between rounds, I was like bleaching it too, just to make sure that I was getting stuff. I wanted to make sure there was nothing.
Was this in like your early days when you cared more?
Yeah.
That should be something we talk about, like things we used to do, but now we're too lazy.
Care about our plans.
I mean, we care, no, yeah. But like, it's definitely mild.
But I loved it because it was a branch that wide. So it like wide and a really like cool, like
you say Y is in the letter, not wide.
Yeah.
In
so it's split. And so it looked like a Y and the one edge, the one was like taller, but like really like knotty looking, like super like
naughty.
What's the word? Super twisty. It was just like it had
like
a bunch
evil,
of evil. Yeah, it had cool shape
evil
to
branch.
It. And then the other side wasn't as long. It almost kind of looked like antlers. And okay. I put my Adansonii on that and it looked awesome. I liked doing it. It was fun. My Adansonii looked amazing for like 3 months and then it got spider mites.
Dun dun dun. My Adansonii also got spider mites. That was one that I would like to grow again, but not right now. Oh, okay. What else? Stakes, trees, branches.
Other plants for support?
Ooh, you know, okay, I don't do this because I don't think I could give them the right light. But like if you had a giant ficus tree and you want to put a like a pothos or something grow in the
like in between the...
up the tree, just I'd... really let that strangle the fig.
I was going to say, I'd be a little worried about it suffocating the plant, but
I mean, we could try it.
I still want to put a Hoya on a moss pole and just like wrap the hell out of it.
Yeah, you told me. You could start your, what's this, call it over? The embedded, the one downstairs that you're like, I need to start this over. It had the leaves that look like this.
So always.
Well, it wouldn't be a Lisa, that's for sure.
Clemenciarum?
I don't know.
Was it the really long one?
Okay, in your cabinet was on the top shelf towards, it was like the right side of the zipper, but in the front.
Oh, Lai Chow.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Good job.
That could be fun.
That'd be cool.
That one grows really fast, too.
You wanted to start them over.
I have to be on top of it.
And if you, I wonder, because you would be growing it in the humidity, if that would help the rooting into moss situation.
I think it would.
You could even try to keep that wet if you felt inclined. Oof. Or would that rot the vine?
Maybe. But I've definitely gotten aerial roots. I mean, if you look down there, they have like aerial roots on the Hoya vines because of the humidity. So I probably wouldn't even need to.
Yeah, it's funny when my Hoyas get a little too much humidity, they just like roots.
They go crazy.
Like, guys, stop.
Yeah.
You have nothing holding up.
You're like, you want to prop me?
No, I want you to grow.
Yeah.
We could totally try that sometime if we ever thought about it.
I would want to get like a 4-inch diameter. Yeah. Moss pole. Just something so I'm not like constantly wrapping, so it has a little more.
Yeah, because the Hoyas, they have quite internodal spacing sometimes.
Well, I also wonder if it would make them less if it's attached. Oh, it's
possible.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Right?
Do this experiment, Christine. Get excited about plants again.
I mean, yeah. I'll just have to, height is another one, because like it's going to fill it fast. So I almost want to do a taller moss pole.
Yeah. Okay, other supplant supports. Ooh, not exactly a support, but if you have a vining plant, totally get a long macrame and trail that up the macrame and then up and down and up and down. It looks really cool.
I've done that with Hoya. It looks nice.
Oh, Hoya.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I've done it with Gnapsis and philodendron vining.
Yeah, Hoya are really good at finding that themselves, and they'll just be all wrapped up. My Hoya climbed up. Actually, I have a picture. The tail of a macrame. It like found the tail of that and wrapped itself up into it.
Yeah, I've had that happen too.
And subsequently, it got wrapped. It caught on or held on to my string of bananas and started climbing up my string of bananas.
It's funny. Yeah,
that was a pain. Pupa calyx just grows so fast. And those vines search for stuff to grow, climb.
It'd be dangerous if I had like a metalworking hobby because, you know, I just sew whatever the heck I want. If I knew how to work with metal, I could just like make whatever kind of trellis I want.
Right.
I am in particular thinking about my Dioscorea elephantipes, which I put on a trellis that I got from that fucking trellis guy.
Yeah, the dick trellis. Flaming dick
trellis. I saw, okay, Pam showed it to me and she's like, Caitlin, you would like this. It's a circle trellis. And then on the inside, there's some bendy wire. In the shape of a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And Pam was like, you would like this. And I was like, you're right, I would. And so I went and ordered some because I had Christmas money. So thank you to my grandparents who funded the purchase of these two dick trellises from that fucking trellis guy. Zach was excellent to work with. And I asked for one of them to be on fire and he delivered. So my Dioscorea is on a circle trellis with a dick on it, fire.
Was inside. He like, I feel like I've never talked to Zach, but I feel like he's someone that wouldn't just be like, yeah, sure. He'd be like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Because what he did is somebody like requested a dick with pubes. And yeah. I was like, it doesn't look like pubes. It looks like it's on fire. And so I was like, hey, can you do one where it looks like it's on fire? And I was like, similar to this, but fire. And he was like, yeah. And he was like, these are really cool. I'm really excited for you. And you know, I'm not in Instagram, so I don't like share him and tag him, but I should email him like an old lady. Some pictures.
Dearest Zach.
Because my Hoya serpens is on the regular dick. Mm-hmm. And that my Dioscorea is on the dick on fire. And it was actually really nice to have like the interior stuff for the Dioscorea to like vine on. Cause that one, it's kind of how like, you know, how you said the Hoya will just grab onto stuff and twirl. Uh-huh. It's even worse, better question mark than that. Cause like it's got such a fine vine and it really will do like the tight coil.
Sure.
So like once I started him on his journey around the trellis, he just kind of did it himself.
Yeah.
So he really made use of the dick trellis. He looks great. You can't really tell it's a dick.
He's been doing cat butts lately.
Oh yeah.
I should show you them after. Yeah.
I got Pam gave me one that said just fuck.
Ah.
And the Huskaliana is on it. Actually, Huskaliana, I had aphids on it again. So I put it outside. It's growing.
Oh no.
Outside. I saw some new leaves that are pink and I was like, come on. You don't grow inside for me, but you grow out here.
Fine.
And actually I could probably move him to a spot with more light now because he's been outside for at least a week. But mine's not as full as yours, but I'm really excited for the Huskaliana variegata to vine more. And actually my plan with that one, I'm not gonna have the Hoya go on the word fuck. I'm just gonna have him go around.
Sure.
So then I'll be able to read the fuck in the middle.
Yeah.
And I can picture what that'll look like because I know what yours looks like. That'd be my topiary. Oh, my Matilda's really
bushy.
Yeah, it's on the circle trellis.
Holy crap.
And it's like bushier because the leaves are bigger than your Huscaliana, and it looks really nice, but it needs a hose down. And I think I need to repot it because it's getting kind of tippy and it's Leca.
Mm. Tonkadale had Matilda's, and like the leaves were like
really big.
Giant. I've never seen Matilda leaves so big.
I wonder how we do that.
Right? Because they weren't trellis. They were just hanging.
Well, they were probably propagated off something that was growing a certain
probably.
Way. So yeah. We have to look at the mother plant. Yeah. Which chances are, if it's in a greenhouse, you think it's in a hanging basket hanging from the greenhouse? Probably. Is it probably trellis? Probably not.
Yeah.
Florida light.
True. More light.
More light. Look more at that. Fire. I'm just braining out how to do it. Like Mackie would if Mackie were here. Any other supports? Emotional supports? Give your plants a high five.
Talk to your plants.
Tell them how good they're doing, how great they look.
There is science behind that.
Yep. I mean, if you give me praise, I do better too.
Yeah. They tend to like classical music.
My plants get a lot of ghost.
They don't like metal music.
What?
I think there's actually like a scientific thing I saw about.
Well, they're still growing.
They like, but they like react to the emotion of the song. And if like metal music is a lot of like, you know, heavy stuff, like yelling and things like that.
Ghost is a little different. It's more melodic.
That is true. That is true. The best description of Ghost and Friends, please. This is the number three thing Kaylin and I are both obsessed with.
So plants.
Halloween. The band Ghost. Swedish pop metal band Ghost.
Satanic Swedes.
Yeah. The best description of that band I've heard is Scooby-Doo chase music.
It's better than Scooby-Doo chase music.
But it's like that feel.
It's just
but
like
metal.
It's metal, but it has like a theatrical element to it, and it's very melodic, and like everything just sounds good.
And it's
like they have the heavy guitar, but like it's no offense to Brandon, it's so much more palatable than the metal he listens to.
And not to get super esoteric or theological here, it's very hymnal. That's the thing. It sounds very much like something you would hear in church as far
metal,
as the melodies.
Metal,
but yeah, but heavy metal.
Wouldn't that be fun? A heavy metal church service.
But I think that's the whole juxtaposition of the band.
Well, like, if you listen to any of their lyrics, they are not Jesus-y.
No.
They're the opposite.
Yeah, on purpose.
Plant of the week. What a great segue. Hey, we stayed on topic for most of the
rest 20 minutes of the episode.
Quiet. We did really bad at the beginning and then we got on track. Really good. We deserve a cookie. Okay. I'm going to pause while I think of my plant of the week.
Same. Ooh, I think I'm going to do my Hoya Gunungudin. I don't think I've done that one in a minute. It's been a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
It's been looking really nice. I haven't been trying to sun stress it. So it like sometimes will get a little bit of the red. It's not definitely not like a deep red all around. I actually kind of like the dark green leaves of it too, but just been a super happy full plant.
All right. My plant of the week is my Diona Duel, which is seed grown from Mackie.
Mm.
This is the plant that grows about 2 leaves a year. It is a cycad. So plant is older, you know, the genus is as old as the dinosaurs. But if you think of like sago palms, I think those are also cycads.
Mm.
But my Diona Duel is putting out another second leaf this summer already. Like he put out a leaf at the beginning of summer after not putting a leaf out like all of winter. And then all of a sudden I noticed the other day he's got a brand new leaf coming in. And I was like, what the fuck?
Nice.
So I am so excited. Like this is his time to shine. I'm kind of wondering if we can maybe get in the third leaf before winter. Kind of doubt it, but wishful thinking. Anyway. Super cool. He kind of has these like palmate leaves that are hard and spiky. And then since he's seed grown, he had like, you know, 2-inch long leaves, and then you get like a 3.5-inch long leaf. And then the first leaf he put out this year was probably like a 5-inch leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And now the one I can only imagine it's going to be, no, I think the one he put out this last leaf was 7 inches ish.
Nice.
It was substantially longer and elongated, but like this new leaf that's coming out, I'm just waiting for it to be even bigger and even longer, and I'm so excited.
Where does yours live?
Right now it's in the greenhouse.
Okay, but where
getting does a ton of light.
Normally live.
South window. He's only in a 6-inch pot at this time.
Yeah. I just feel like I've like always just like overcrossed him and like I like not know what
he's not he a is. Big plant and yeah. He doesn't get big fast. So
sure.
This is definitely my slowest growing plant, but usually I'll put him and the Dioscorea right next to each other when sure. They have foliage inside in the middle of the south window because, one, they fit really well, and, two, they're just really goofy plants that I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So I want them to get special treatment.
Sure.
And what's nice is because last year, whatever, they were in like 4-inch pots. Mm-hmm. So they could easily fit in prime window spot next to my giant Monstera and my giant Regal Shield.
Right.
So
cool.
Cool. Congratulations, plants of the week.
Good job.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And please thank you. So many thank yous. Blah, 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 blah. Words are hard. Thanks for putting up with our ADHD this episode.
Yeah. We're a loud one every now and then.
Yeah. Mackie's not here to keep us on topic, so forgive us. Okay, everyone. Stay rough. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.